ABC Radio Australia.
Well, a massive military training exercise involving seven different countries is taking place in Australia as we speak. The Talisman Sabre runs for over a month and is the largest bilateral training exercise between Australia and US Defence Force. It's designed to simulate a warlike scenario, and military experts say it's crucial for defence preparedness. But some activists in the Pacific say exercises like this are a part of an increasing militarisation of the region, and they told Marion Farr they want it to stop.
Fire mission, Victor Mike 0003.
At Shoalwater Bay on the coast of central Queensland, troops are preparing for war. The large-scale military training exercise, Talisman Sabre, involves more than 17,000 personnel from Australia, America, New Zealand, South Korea, Japan, Canada and the UK.
A gold marlin, a gold.
Please target line 148.
We're training for combat and it is realistic.
Australian Air Commodore Stuart Bellingham is the exercise director.
We integrate all those forces from the jets, the ships, tanks, troops, space, information warfare across all of those domains, bring them together and provide them with a realistic training environment so that they can prepare for war.
Talisman Sabre runs from June to mid-August, and it's the largest military training event between Australia and the United States. While defence experts say it's crucial for military preparedness, some people in the Pacific want it to stop.
The reason that these kinds of exercises are held are planning and preparation for future wars.
Valerie Morse is a member of Peace Action Wellington, a New Zealand-based group calling for an end to militarism in the Pacific.
I'm deeply, deeply concerned that the focus and the locus of a new global conflict will be in the Pacific, and the peoples of the Pacific will suffer as a result of that.
She's worried about the growing presence of military forces in the region. While Talisman Sabre may be one of the largest, it's by no means the only event of its kind. This month, the US Army is also conducting an exercise called Forager 21, which involves 4,000 personnel. It's designed to practice military response operations in the Pacific, including in Guam and Palau.
One of the things I think is a major issue is what I see as really the arrogance, particularly of the United States, but equally well Australia, in that they have become the Pacific policemen. They seem to think that it is their right to somehow police the operations of the Pacific.
Michael Shoebridge is a defence expert from the Australian Strategic Policy Institute. He says while military exercises have been carried out for decades, a more recent motivation is China.
These exercises are a key part of deterring Chinese military aggression in the Indo-Pacific. So speaking generally, military exercises are about realistic training to be able to operate in conflict. But the bigger purpose right now beyond that is deterrence of Beijing.
The activity is attracting China's attention. Beijing has sent two surveillance ships towards the Australian coast to keep an eye on what other militaries are up to during Talisman Sabre. Mr. Shoebridge says exercises like this are probably going to get bigger and more numerous.
So this Talisman Sabre exercise that's happening off the coast of Queensland at the moment, it's been going on every 2 years for decades. But in recent years, more partner militaries have been joining. So this year, for example, in addition to the Five Eyes military partners, you know, the US, Australia, Canada, New Zealand and the UK, Japanese and South Korean forces have joined. And again, that bigger participation is a reaction to Beijing's growing military aggression. And the good news from my point of view is it's demonstrating that these powerful militaries from democratic nations do have the will to deter Beijing.
But Valerie Morse disagrees. She thinks that military exercises and militarisation in general increase the risk of conflict.
By pouring so many resources into war and into preparations for war, we are actually bringing forward that kind of conflict.
One person who knows what it's like to feel under threat from military attack is Lisa Natividad, a Chamorro woman from Guam, or Guahan, as it's known in the Indigenous language.
It's fearful. You know, it's really fearful. When the DPRK threats were happening, I mean, literally in the morning, like, you have to make the decision, geez, do I send my kids to school today?
In 2017, North Korea announced plans to carry out a missile attack on Guam. 2 years later, China released a video showing a simulated bomb attack on the island called the Guam Killer. Dr. Natividad is also a professor at the University of Guam researching militarization and colonization. She says the threats have caused enormous anxiety for local people.
You know, today is the day that they said they were going to send that bomb over. Should we prepare? You know, because on the other hand, you have the government officials saying you don't need to worry. There's a missile defense system. We will be protected. They will detect, you know, the rocket from miles away and they will shoot it down and we're safe. But what we also know is the technology of missile defense systems is very poor.
Under America's so-called Pacific pivot, Guam has seen an extensive military buildup that shows no sign of stopping. The US plans to relocate an extra 5,000 troops to the island and holds regular training exercises in the region. On top of the social impacts, Dr. Natividad is also concerned about the environment.
So when you've got the weaponry that is being activated, even in practice play, right, in exercises, these things release toxins into our environment in various ways. And so our island, for example, having been an active war zone during World War II, as well as the number of U.S. military bases being present, has resulted in a very toxic physical environment.
It's a worry shared by Australian Indigenous woman Rhonda Kelly.
To me, it's like people just wanting to blow up things. It's like a boy's toys. It's costly economically and it's also costly environmentally.
She'd like to see an end to military exercises in her home country and in the wider region.
You saw it with the Second World War. It was a lot of the Pacific Islanders were impacted and it's likely to be a similar case or even if it's not direct military fire, you know, people will want to be stationed and based in those islands and then that sort of causes social upheavals within communities as well.
The ABC has approached the Australian Defence Force for comment, but did not receive a response. Michael Shoebridge says the military does do a lot of work to minimise the environmental impact of training activities.
So Talisman Sabre, for example, there is reams of environmental planning and careful management of the training areas. And that same expectation is a requirement for the partner militaries that are part of that exercise.
And while he understands the anxiety these activities might cause, he says actual conflict would be much worse. Still, New Zealand peace activist Valerie Morse is not convinced. She'd like to see efforts put into a different approach.
We have put an enormous amount of resources, and that's physical resources in terms of person power and resources in terms of military materiel, into preparing for war and figuring out how we're going to wage war. But we seldom put so much effort into essentially waging peace.